to welcome you to our nursing home programme for March. Thank you for taking the time to tune in and listen to the service. We're going to start with number 31 in the little books that we would normally use. Number 31, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you can join in as the singing starts. Just going to bow in a little word of prayer before we go any further. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come into your presence, that access that we have through your own Son who came into this world and lived that perfect life and died on the cross and shed his blood for sinners like me. We pray that you'd bless us as even our time together in this way today. As the program goes out, we pray that it would be a blessing to each one that would hear it. And we pray that as thy word is preached, that you would even speak to those that are yet outside of Christ. And we pray even for those that are thy people, that you'd encourage them through thy word as it's read and as it's sung and as it's spoken upon. Lord, bless us as we continue on in thy presence just now, for it's in the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing another hymn just before we have the speaking. Number 55, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. And immediately after the hymn, Bethany's going to come and read the scriptures.
reading today is taken from Psalm 34, and it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack, and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.
I do want to thank Bethany for doing that reading for us in Psalm 34. Today I want us to consider today the cry of the poor man, which is found in verse 6. This poor man cried. I want us to consider firstly the cause of this poor man to cry. I want us to look firstly here at verse 21. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Whenever we think of something that is evil in the Bible, the first thing that we can think of truly must be sin. Sin truly is evil. It is the main cause of death. We read in the Bible that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And this is what is really taught here in verse 21, that evil shall slay the wicked. We see an irony here, because the wicked person, we think in the Bible, is someone that pursues after sin, hungers after sin, feeds on sin. And yet the irony of it is that sin at the end is what ends up slaying them. That thing that they pursue after is the one thing that will slay them and put them down. What is the wicked person? At the end of this verse, in verse 21, we read that they hate the righteous. They hate the righteous. The righteous would be the Christian, because the Christian is made righteous through the merits of Christ. And the example of the Christian, the example of the righteous, is Jesus Christ, who himself is all righteousness. And therefore we're referring to someone who hates Christ, who rejects Christ, who says in his heart, I want nothing to do with this man. This is who is being referred to, the wicked. And it's so easy in looking at this verse to think about the wicked and to say, that's not me. I'm not this person. I'm a good person. My friend, if you were to truly know your Bible, you would know what is said in Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. There's no denying we're sinners. And if you say in your heart that you're not a sinner, well, my friend, it reads in Romans 3, verse 20, that by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. And if you were to look at the law summarized in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, we'll find that the law of God would condemn us. To name a couple of the Ten Commandments, there's thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, Thou shalt not dishonour thy parents, remember the Sabbath day, just to name a couple of them. But if we were to look at the Ten Commandments, we would see truly, with an honest heart, that we have broken the law of God. And you may say to yourself in your heart, well, perhaps I've only said a couple of lies, but that doesn't make me a bad person. Everybody lies. It's not as if I've killed somebody. But my friend, God's standards are so high that he regards even hatred as murder, and looking with lust as adultery. And another thing is, even if there was only one lie you've ever told in your life, that being, if that was as if your only sin you've ever committed in your whole life, the Bible says in James 2 verse 10, that whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Because the law has been broken, and justice needs satisfied. God is a just God. He's not just a God of love. He is just, and he wants to be sure that justice is satisfied. Otherwise, he wouldn't be honest in truth as he claims to be in the Word of God. And you know, friend, we read in Romans 6, verse 23, that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, wages, we know that wages is something we earn. It's not something we're just given. We have to earn wages. And because we have sinned, we have earned death. And the death referred to is not just the ordinary death, but the eternal spiritual death. Hell, that place of torment and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the wrath of God is poured out in all unrighteousness, where the flames are not quenched. My friend, this is a place we all deserve, even me standing before you. And my friend, it doesn't end there, that there is the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're going to consider that more further. I want us to notice, secondly, the cry of the poor man in verse 6. Verse 6 reads, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." This poor man, a poor man is someone who is helpless, feeble and needy, not unable to even help himself, never mind everybody else. This poor man, I can see him here. He's on his knees with his arms stretched out as if to express that this is all I can do. I need to cry out unto the Lord. This man was broken. In some ways I can relate to this man spiritually. I was broken. I was poor. I was needy. I was helpless. I couldn't even save myself from sin. I knew in my life I deserved the wrath of God. I deserved hell. And I couldn't save myself. And I was on my way to condemnation. But lo and behold, I heard of Jesus Christ. And I, as this poor man, I went on my knees. I had my arms stretched out and I cried unto the Lord for mercy and forgiveness and repentance. And what a glorious truth is found in this verse. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, in the midst of this creation, the Lord hears every single thing. He hears the rolling thunder. He hears the zooming car. He hears the waves smashing against the rocks. But amidst of all the noisy creation, there's one thing God most certainly can hear, clear as anything. He hears the cry of a poor man, a humble man, a man broken, a man with a repenting spirit. This is the cry the Lord most definitely will hear and answer and hearken. Just as this poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, later on in the psalm, we read in verse 18 that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Like I said, I was broken, but the Lord drew near unto me and strove with me to get right with him. May God be striving with you today to get right with him. May the Lord be drawing nigh to you in your brokenness and sin. And praise the Lord, he saves those that be of a contrite spirit. The word contrite, it can also mean having remorse or regret or repentance. I had that contrite spirit, that repenting spirit, that desire to turn away from sin, which was going to condemn me and ruin me, and to turn to Christ, who is mighty to save. I turned to Christ, And praise the Lord, he saved me and he heard me. I want us lastly to consider the result of the poor man's cry. In verse 22 of Psalm 34, we read, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." Praise the Lord that there is a Redeemer. I thank God that Jesus Christ himself is the great Redeemer. He is the one who has made the way of recovery, restoration and reconciliation, that whereby he can draw us unto himself. We who were hell deserving sinners, he can bring us to himself. He done this because we read in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that of whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus Christ came into this world. He lived among men. He never sinned in thought, word or deed like we do so naturally, just like breathing. And Jesus Christ, he set his face as a flint to the cross of Calvary. And there on the cross, he endured the wrath of God. He took the sinner's place. He took my place and he took your place on the cross. And there he cried, "It is finished," because he paid the penalty full by the blood. And my friend, whenever I got right with God, there was a great transaction that took place, because Christ's perfect life was imputed unto me and my sins were placed on Christ. Christ took my blame, took my sins upon himself and endured the wrath of God and satisfied justice for me. And he can do so for you if you put your trust in him and lean upon him and repent from your sins and trust on him. In verse 22, the end, we have a glorious promise that none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You know, in verse 21, we read the contrast that they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And in the margin, it says, shall be guilty. And, you know, if we were to put that in the verse 22 here, it would read, none of them that trust in him shall be guilty. Praise God, because of Christ's perfect life that can be imputed into the believer. Only the pure in heart can enter into heaven. My friend, if you come before God with your sins, God will say unto you, "Depart from me, you work of iniquity, for I never knew you." But praise God, when I shall see him, and I have my sins repented of, forgiven, and I put my trust in Christ, he will say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into thy eternal rest." I can say of a truth, as I said in Romans 8 verse 1, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. My friend, put your trust in Jesus Christ today, who alone can save you. He alone is the Redeemer. He alone is the Savior of the world. My friend, put your trust in him. And you can trust in him, because there's victory in Jesus Christ. He was victorious over death, hell, and sin. And he can give you the victory. If you would acknowledge your sin before God, confess them, and believe and put your trust in Jesus Christ, and praise God, he can save you. He can save you now. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and save you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're just going to close in a word of prayer. I trust God has blessed and spoken to you. And I trust that you will come to the Savior. He alone can save. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee once again. We can come to thy presence through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, for the gospel truth that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, I thank thee, Lord, that there is cleansing in the blood of the Lamb. There's freedom and there's liberty and there's a way back to God. Oh, Lord, I just pray, dear Lord, for the residences, the nursing homes and those that work there, that, Lord, you would put thy protecting hand upon them. And, oh, God, I pray that, Lord, you would save them for thy glory. That, Lord, they would not fear death or tomorrow, knowing that it is in thine hands. Oh, Lord, I pray that, Lord, thou wouldst work in hearts and lives. Speak on, I pray, for thy honour and glory. Use all that's been said and done for thy glory. We ask these things in Jesus' precious, worthy, and almighty name. Amen. I'm going to sing our final hymn number 41. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.